Morning, Denny. How are you?
Yeah, eye-watering conversation, that.
Oh,
I was just trying to
picture what happens when you get hit there, Denny, and the box splits or the protector splits.
I don't want to know, Loz.
Yeah, it just sounds painful, doesn't it?
No, I don't want to know.
Do you ever play cricket, Denny?
Yeah, I love cricket, actually. Yeah. I was no quick singles when I was batting.
Chris Gayle?
Yeah, I was going to say the
four,
same thing.
Four or two.
Smart.
We were talking about Adam Reynolds just before. What are your feelings as far as where he will end up?
Okay, it's a bit of a saga, isn't it? Look, I was told over the weekend that Adam Reynolds would have his mind made up within 48 hours as to which club he wanted to play for. So that's now. So if that mail was right, he will know whether he wants to play with Brisbane or Cronulla. I think I said on this show a couple of weeks back that the original offer that was being reported about Cronulla was just wrong, that had been overcooked by some media people, that it was 2.4 over 3. And I said it would come to that eventually, and now it's around that mark. I heard you guys talking about 4 years for Reynolds and that would get him over the line. It's a risky play, and if Brisbane want to go there, the only way I could justify that kind of offer, and I'd like to know what Boz would think about this, but you offer him a lot up front. So just say, if you're Brisbane, you say 1.2, 1, maybe then 600 and 400 for the last year. So if things go pear-shaped at the end, you're not losing too much. Because I don't think you can offer him a million per each season, or, you know, you've got to beat the Cronulla money, because he'd have to move out of Sydney if he's going to take the Brisbane offer. But Brisbane have been saying that they're confident they'll get him. I don't know where that confidence comes from. I don't know. I was hearing some talk about potential third-party sponsors getting involved, which Brisbane is always very good at and has an advantage over most clubs, particularly over a club like Cronulla, who would struggle in that area. So maybe that's where their confidence comes from. If you put a gun to my head, I couldn't give you an answer. I don't know how Adam Reynolds is thinking, but someone with four young kids, it's a big move, isn't it, to pack up and go to Brisbane. But if the money's there, and I do think this next decision for Adam Reynolds is about money, you just go for the highest bidder.
Yeah, I think you're right there, Denny. I think that he'll look at both offers and he'll go to the highest bidder. And I think if he can get 4 years... I can't blame him either. And, I think that, you know, he's at that stage of his career now where his next contract possibly will be his last. And if he can get 4 years somewhere, do it. You'd be mad not to. But he's got a couple of options on the table. I think, like you, Denny, that if someone was going to offer him a contract, he wouldn't be on $1 million for the final year. He'd be well under that. But you'd be able to structure the contract around him earning money, decent money, in the last year of his contract, but not nowhere near $1 million. And what, say, $500, $600, $700, $1,000 looks like now in 5 years' time for a salary cap. Who knows what the salary cap will be and what a halfback is worth. And I keep saying that, you know, Ben Hunt's on 1.2. You're going to get a halfback at some stage in the next 4 or 5 years, be on 1.5. 1.2.
Do you take less money for the extra year?
Yeah.
Do you take less money for the extra year if you're Adam Reynolds?
Well, I think you just look at the total number. How it's structured is irrelevant.
I'd structure, if I was Reynolds or the club, that the last year isn't the huge amount. And that way, if Reynolds decided, well, I just can't do it anymore, it won't hurt
both
him too much.
Yeah, okay.
And also, if... like, where's Adam Reynolds? No offence. Where's he going to earn $400,000 or $500,000 in the non-rugby league world in that last year? He's not going to do that. So it's worth the risk for him, isn't it?
Yep, it certainly is. And the thing that I've got no idea where he'll end up, but I think Brisbane need a signing. if they don't get any signings, Denny, where's hope for them?
Yeah, but
how do they sell it to their supporters?
Laurie Cronulla are signing too, because right now their management are getting smashed, like absolutely hammered for the way they handled John Morris. And Craig Fitzgibbon, very good signing, but that's not getting a lot of recognition at the moment because that they've fallen in a heap. They look pretty poor on the field, and that's ever since the decision to sack John Morris to say see you later. And they need a serious signing. Craig Fitzgibbon needs a halfback like Adam Reynolds to structure his team around. And I know Fitzgibbon has been speaking to Reynolds, and I don't know how much Kevy has been, but I'd imagine that you know, that would be weighing on Adam Reynolds that he gets to stay at home and he gets a coach he likes and yeah. a person he knows. And would the pressure be as great at Cronulla? Probably not as Brisbane.
It's a fair point you make because Cronulla have fallen off their perch. They're struggling big time.
They look really disinterested at the moment. And I'm not having a shot at Josh Hannah. I'm not having a shot at the players. I think it's the management really have some serious questions to answer the way they handle the whole situation with John Morris.
What about the Parramatta situation, Denny? This players being outside the bubble, how's that going to pan out?
It's an interesting one. And Pup, we raised the story on Nine News last night that one of the players who played, who was outside of the bubble, is Jake Arthur. If you recognise the surname, it's Brad Arthur's son. He lives with Brad Arthur, obviously. So Jake is in a situation where he's considered dirty or in the dirty zone, and Brad's in the clean zone. Now, how does that affect Brad Arthur? You know, it's just the whole situation's weird. Like, is that acceptable? Can Brad Arthur go to Brisbane and be with his team? I don't know. I mean, I don't write the COVID rules, the bubble rules. I'm not on the Apollo committee, but I'd be thinking that's an unusual one. And they'll say, oh, well, the members of the family are allowed out to do shopping and all this sort of thing. But in Jake Arthur's case, he's in the firing zone, yeah. isn't he, for the NRL, because he's one of the players who might be in that grey area as far as the NRL is concerned. So the NRL has got a difficult decision to make here because,
other clubs won't be happy, Denny.
No. When do clubs want another club to get an advantage? Never.
No.
They'll kick him while they're down, and that's what they'll do at Parramatta.
But to be fair, most of those clubs, they withdrew their players.
100%.
Because they believed that if something did go wrong, then they wanted to make sure that they had players available to send to Brisbane. And Parramatta obviously thought, well, yeah, the restrictions will be lifted and everything will change and we'll be okay. So you can't have a rule and then not police it.
Laurie, we need to hear from Parramatta why they did that. Like, if every club knew, and they may say, oh, it happened quickly and we didn't have enough notice. But they knew the rule. That was the rule set by the NRL, and there was an email that went out. Clubs were made aware, and Parramatta didn't abide by it. So there are some very odd situations, like the Brad and Jake Arthur situation. But as an overall way of looking at it, they knew the rule and they didn't follow it.
How would they go, though, Denny, if Parramatta only had 16 players available?
If
the letter of the law is to be followed and they only had 16 players, where does that leave the game, Parramatta, you know, if something unfortunate happened and they were, you know, in terms of player health and safety?
Mm. Well, I don't think they can let it happen. And I think the NRL will have to have Parramatta playing in a magic round. Look, if we're being realistic, we're not going to see Parramatta do a junior, an under-11 thing in forfeit, are they?
No.
So they're going to play. There'll be some sort of way around it. I'm not smart enough to tell you what it's going to be or figure it out, but they've got to reach a situation where all the other clubs aren't going to suddenly come down on Parramatta or the NRL and say, well, you've got double standards, because that's what they're facing.
Denny, no doubt the big story yesterday. Can you explain the court rulings for the Jack DeBellin case and what's next?
Mate, if I could, I wouldn't be talking to you. I'd be in a high-powered legal job. What I will say, I don't want to get heavily into the actual court situation, but what happens next is that the DPP have the option of looking at the case and potentially going to a third trial, and we know the May 28th day there. Now, if that doesn't happen, I don't know if third trials are that commonplace, and if it doesn't happen, we'll see Jack DeBellin back playing football And I prefer to talk about Jack DeBell and the footballer at the moment. That's not being disrespectful in any way to the young lady involved in this case. But what I'd like to discuss is with Laurie, I mean, can he be the player he was? He's had 2 years out of footy. He's been through, I mean, this is not a violin playing for Jack DeBell, but he's been through a lot emotionally, because he, on the moral scale of things, at the very, very least, he's done the wrong thing. Can he mentally, physically be the same player again?
It's an interesting question, Denny, because I don't think any of us would know how he personally would be feeling. And as stoic as you are, I can only imagine if the DPP dropped the charges or they have to go to a third trial and he gets found not guilty, what relief would come with that and how you'd be feeling, and then to get yourself up to play rugby league. I don't know whether that'd be the most important thing to you or not. I'd imagine it'd be hard, put it that way.
I think it'd be really hard, and I think the Dragons, look, they've supported him throughout this, and we've known for a while there's a long-term deal there. The figures have been coming out now that it's around, like, $700 a year. That's a gamble for the Dragons. That's a big investment for the Dragons, isn't it? When you look at on a purely, I'm not talking about anything else, but on a purely on a footballing sense, a bloke hasn't played football for a couple of years, and he's 30. And yes, he was a very good player, but it's going to be a massive challenge to get to a point where he will be that player again. I think mentally, because he's going to be, whether we like it or not, he's going to be running out, and he's going to be in the public eye again. How does he do media? How does he do sponsors? How does he react to the crowd? Because they're not going to be kind to him.
Well, I don't think anyone knows how he's going to react. And I think it's just a matter of seeing how it unfolds and what happens. But, you know, if he's allowed to play, I'm hoping if he's allowed to play, then he can come back and rediscover his best. But from an outsider looking in, you'd say it'd be hard because you've spent that time out of the game, and emotionally, how would you be going? But that's only Jack will be able to answer that.
Laurie, and also, I mean, Steve Gillis, I know he doesn't want any raps for anything he's done throughout all this, but he's got Jack a great deal, his manager. And for whatever you want to say about player managers or whatever else, I've been really stunned by it. Every time you see Jack DeBell and enter a courtroom, you see Steve Gillis by his side. And it's a separate issue, but the way he supported him through this is quite commendable. I mean, that wouldn't have been an easy thing for even him to do, given everything that was going on. And we often bag managers and bag people in that sort of position, the 6%ers, and say they're doing the wrong thing. But in this case, to have that kind of support would have been invaluable for Jack DeBell.
Yeah, well, I think, I can only speak on behalf of myself and my relationship with Steve. And I just know what a wonderful person he is, and he would be there supporting Jack, and he's been there every day to support Jack. And it's a difficult time for everyone involved. And let's hope that, you know, on May 28th, we find out what's happening, and if it goes to trial again, they'll be ready to go. And if the DPP do not want to go ahead with the trial, then Jack's back playing, and we'll see how it all unfolds. But I want to ask you too, Denny, about Tony Williams' comments surrounding Jared Hayne's sentencing.
Seriously, I mean, if we're lining up, I know a lot of people think I could win the book out of the year for things I say and do, but that's next planet. That's another planet. What he said on his Instagram, and I'm not going to repeat what he said. And the way that the New York club, his New York club, reacted was very good. They dismissed him straight from the contract he was going to have. And also the New South Wales Cup, he lost that gig as well. And really, I know Tony wouldn't just come out and apologise, but too little too late, mate. I mean, that was disgusting, seriously disgusting. And he shouldn't have anything to do with rugby league again. Jared Hayne, you know, might be his mate. Keep it to yourself. Keep it. Go and somehow get that message to Jared Hayne if you really feel like you have to do that. And look, and Christian Inu made comments as well. And we're waiting for the Salford club in England to get off their hands and make a decision with that as well. I mean, the last time I checked, they were investigating it. Well, I don't know how much investigation it really needs. I don't think he should be playing football either.
Denny, plenty going on. You go and have a good week.
Thank you. See you guys.